Living the American Dream is paid for and presented by Chris Robinson.
This is Living the American Dream with Chris Robinson, right here on Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. Here's your host, Chris Robinson.
Good morning. You're listening to Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. This is Living the American Dream with Chris Robinson. I'm your host. Welcome to the Living the American Dream. I'm here with my good friend Mark Moses because I've got a story to tell him that's going to set up the show for today. As you know, we're on live with the Living the American Dream, where we talk to small business owners about how to essentially start, run, operate a small business, live the American Dream, buy a home. We've got Joe Kovac in the house today that's going to be discussing his business, how he started, how he got rolling in real estate, and talk a little bit about just how the market's doing and what you need to know. However, Mark, are you here?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Did you go to the game this week? The Orlando City game?
I went last Wednesday when they won. I didn't go to that game on Sunday night. Did you?
I was there. That's how I'm going to set up the show for today. All right? I'm not sure. Did you watch the game?
Yes, I did.
All right. Now, for those of you who did not go, Orlando City played a decent game on Sunday. Let's put it that way. Okay. Uh-huh. However, in the first half, an Orlando City player got a red card. Do you remember that?
Yes, I did.
Got kicked out of the game, so we played short the rest of the game. So I shouldn't say they played a decent game. They played a great game to, you know, end up the way they did. However, I don't know if you saw this on TV, but after the half, as they're walking out, our seats were great. We were right by the tunnel where you see the guys walk in to the locker room.
Uh-huh.
All right. Did you see this on TV? As the referees were walking in to the locker room, there was a gentleman sitting right in front of me, like right in front of me, threw something at the referee. Holy cow. I was like, uh-oh, this is about to be, you know, a little crazy up here. So I'm sitting here thinking, this guy's got some guts to throw something like that at a referee at an Orlando City game. Within 30 seconds, there were five cops, three security guards in our row, and they grabbed the first Puerto Rican guy they saw, who did not throw the cup or whatever this guy threw.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's the part of the story that just enraged me. This is not about race. That's for another show. The guy who actually threw the cup was sitting right beside this guy. And the guy that they pointed out said, no, it wasn't me. And the cop said, no, you got to come with us. You got to come with us right now. He said, but it wasn't me. He's like, I don't know who did it, but it wasn't me. And he knew who did it because it was the guy right beside him. When the guy threw it, he said something to him like, what are you doing? Here's the part that just destroyed my night. The guy who actually threw it, what do you think he did?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Nothing.
Nothing. And he watched the guy, the innocent guy sitting beside him, get escorted out by the police. And I'm sitting there. I couldn't be quiet. I'm like, dude, this is not right. And I'm talking down to the police. I'm like, he did not do it. He's like, well, who did? Now, again.
Now, you didn't say anything?
Hey, snitches get stitches, right? So, you know, it's this code of the streets or whatever it is that, you know, you want to be quiet. You don't want to snitch on somebody. I don't even know what code that is. I didn't know what to do. But I was appalled that the guy that actually threw it said nothing and watched somebody walk out with the police and take the rap for him. And I'm sitting there going, how, first of all, cowardly is that, dishonest, that you would let somebody else fall for you? And is that what our society has come to, that people are not willing to take the consequences of their actions? And I don't know why it bothered me so much, but it really did.
You're
it
still really bothered
did.
By
I'm
this.
I'm still bothered by that. So that's why I'm here to say, if you threw that cup, you need to shave that beard that you've got because you're not a real man. All right? You know who you are. You know who you are. And you watch somebody else walk out and take the rap for you. That's disgusting. All right? And then I started thinking about in the grander scheme of things, in terms of our society and where we are, just in terms of people being honest and owning up for their own responsibilities, for their own actions and what they do. And how does that affect small business? And, you know, I deal with a lot of small businesses that some people are just not honest. and they're afraid of the truth. And I don't know why that is. That we live in a society now where your word is not worth much of anything anymore, for some people anyway. And I think we have a great advantage for the small business community. If you find a vendor, a service person, or find a product that they're honest and reliable, that really means a lot now, don't you think?
I like there was more action in your story than actually on the field.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the part I like about this.
Oh, after that, we left. We bounced. We were like, oh, this is ridiculous. We're out. And then we went to the Russell Peters comedy show, which was phenomenal. So that's it. But that's my
story.
Wow. Yeah. It was some night.
Was that on a whim? Like, you're like, yeah, we'll just go to this comedy.
Well, actually, my cousin called me the night before and said, hey, you want to go see Russell Peters? I said, absolutely. I don't know if you know who Russell Peters is.
I do.
He is phenomenal. And let me tell you something. This guy had no show. What do I mean by that? He's literally filming a movie in India, so he wanted to just get back into stand-up comedy, so he just wanted, he calls it his process. So he came out, and for an hour and a half, he just talked to the audience, and it was hilarious. It was, what a talented guy.
He was asking questions to the audience?
Yeah, he's like, hey, what are you, Anthony? Well, you're Puerto Rican, you know, because he does a lot of cultural stuff. So, you know, he was just going through the audience, and before the end of the night, he knew, like, literally, I think 15 people by first name, mm-hmm. and he kept referring back to Mary and to Anthony and to so-and-so who's Italian, but he's really Syrian, and da-da-da-da. I'm no Russell Peters, so I can't do him justice.
He's
unbelievable.
But you could do that, Chris. You could just go up in front of people and start talking.
Well, I do every day, but they're not laughing. So my show today on Living the American Dream, we're going to be talking to Joe Kovac with Kovac Real Estate. And I really want to kind of focus with Joe today on, you know, what does it mean to him? Honesty, honor, and the way he structured his business and how he's part of the community, and how do you build a reputation behind honesty, and how important is that in the small business community? Joe's a great guy. I know him for a while, so looking forward to meeting with him and talking with him in the next section on Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. Stay tuned.
This is Living the American Dream with Chris Robinson, right here on Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. Here's your host, Chris Robinson.
You're back on the air with Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. This is Chris Robinson of Living the American Dream. I'm here with Joe Kovac of Kovac Real Estate. Got to make sure I get that name right.
Did I get right? Good morning, yes.
Good morning, Joe. How are you today?
Excellent. Yourself?
Oh, I'm doing great. First of all, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
As you know, Living the American Dream talks about, first of all, owning your own small business and what that means to you as the American Dream. And also, real estate is a big part of the American Dream. So you kind of, you know, kill two birds with one stone. Not that we want to kill birds on the show, but.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that.
Right. So I started my own business last year as Kovac Real Estate. Prior to that, I've been a real estate broker for a number of years. So yeah, the two in one, if you will, owning your own home is part of the American mm-hmm. dream, and owning your own business is another American dream that many of us have.
Okay, so how did you get into real estate originally?
Originally, I graduated actually with a degree in real estate. So
wait. You can get a
some schools, that's correct.
Really?
So, it's a business degree, and some schools offer the emphasis of real estate as a designation within the business school.
Wow. Where was that school?
San Diego State University. Go Aztecs.
Excellent. All right.
So I'm born and raised in Southern California.
Okay.
And ended up going to San Diego State. I'll date myself here. This is back in the late 90s.
Okay.
And when I was going to school, I've always been passionate about real estate, always looking at real estate as how can this be improved? What could be better about this? Early on in my career, I thought, man, I could be a developer. I could build big things. But that takes a lot of resources, a lot of time, effort, energy, and, of course, knowing the right people. So I originally got into the business back in 1991, was my first license in real estate. That was in California. And I was in the real estate business for a number of years there. Started in the commercial world as a commercial real estate broker, and worked in that environment for quite some time. Fast forwarding to Florida, I met my wife in Southern California. She convinced me to move here to Florida, made me an offer I couldn't refuse. And here I am.
Was that offered not to leave you?
Well, I can't discuss the details, but yeah, there were some definite negotiations going on there.
Gotcha. So how long have you been in Florida now?
We moved here in 2004.
Okay.
We drove cross country, caravan. She drove her car. I drove my truck.
Wow.
We packed to the rim with everything that we owned and arrived here December 31st, 2003. And so been here since January 1, 2004. And now that's, 13 years and three kids ago.
Wow. Awesome. So when you got here, you continued to be in real estate as an agent?
Originally, no. I didn't immediately go into the real estate business. I should have. That was a hot market back then, as most everybody knows. I didn't immediately get back into it. It's a long story. The short version is we had to find a house to buy, part of the American dream.
Right.
And we wanted to start raising a family, and we weren't certain whether or not we would stay specifically in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, we did. So no, I did not get back in the real estate business immediately, but realized after a short period of time that that's where my passion lies.
Right. That's excellent. Yeah, I mean, I like talking to people about this because a lot of people see, you know, you own your own business now, and they don't realize the path is not necessarily a one way. You know, sometimes there are a lot of exits to get off before you get back on to really where it gets you to where you want to be.
Correct.
So now talk to me about the business itself. How did you get started, not just in the real estate business, but owning your own business in real estate a year ago?
Right. So throughout my career, I've worked for a number of different companies and folks within various industries. But I realized early on that working for myself is the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while to get to that end goal, but after I finally took that leap of faith, which is really what it is, it's a big leap of faith. You need to be prepared, and you're never truly 100% prepared for it.
Right.
But I prepared myself by working for other folks, other entities, large corporations,
mm-hmm.
and learning sales and marketing throughout that. I've always been a sales and marketing guy. But you also learn management in those other businesses, or at least I did.
Right.
And so learning from others is one of the big keys. But it was really just a leap of faith and having faith in myself and, of course, having my wife and other folks behind me to say, you can do it.
That's awesome. I always say that. A lot of people don't realize. They say that I'm in a dead-end job and this is jobs going nowhere. But, you know, take as much from it as you can. It's a learning experience. You don't start your own business knowing everything. And the best training ground is working for a larger organization that's doing what you want to do in the future. They've got the best training, and guess what? They pay you for all the mistakes.
You can benefit from that effort of others and the experience and wisdom of others. So I think it was John Wooden who said it's what you learn after you know it all that counts.
That's awesome. Oh, say that again. Say that again.
It's what you learn after you know it all that counts.
Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome.
Great to tell your kids.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, they're going to have 8 and a 10-year-old, so they're going to look at me like, what? 25-year-old is right here, so where'd you go? All right, so talk to me about, and I don't want to get too personal, but you said you had to get ready to start your own business. How did you do it financially in terms of, and again, I'm not asking for specifics,
sure.
but what did you do to prepare yourself to know that you were going to start your own business, you're not going to get a paycheck? How did
sure.
you do that? How did you make that transition?
Well, the first step for me was getting my broker's license. As a real estate agent, realtor, you can go get anyone can go and study and take an exam and get a real estate license.
Okay.
After you fulfill the requirements and the qualifications, which is typically training courses. My schooling, actually, graduating from San Diego State with that degree, mm-hmm. gave me the ability to immediately take a broker's exam without having to take any prep classes.
Right.
And so I was able to do that easily and get my broker's license. But before that, I had my agent's license, and I worked underneath another broker.
Okay.
So what I did originally was got my agent's license, worked for another broker, and then realized, you know, eventually I'm going to work for myself. I might as well get my broker's license because I can,
right.
and I don't have to do any additional work. So I went and did that, and that was one of the steps of preparing for starting my own business.
Mm.
Another step, obviously, is saving money, gathering resources, making sure you have enough money to make that jump, because in small business, as you know, there are a number of things that come up that cost you money,
right.
but don't necessarily make you money. Renting office space,
right.
letterhead, logos, designs,
right.
Various promotion and marketing things. Those things don't directly lead to income. you need them, and eventually they help generate income by branding, et cetera. But you need to put a lot of money. A website is one of those things that most people do nowadays. It's pretty easy, but it still costs you money.
Right.
But more importantly, it costs you time and effort, taking you away from making money at what you do. So it's important to be prepared. A business plan is very fundamental. Most small business owners do not have a business plan, believe it or not.
I believe it.
Generating a business plan, because you have to cover all the bases. You might know everything about marketing and sales, but you may not know anything about finance or about management if you have employees, or about leasing office space, for example, which is what I help people with. So there's a lot of different elements of a business plan that people are never experts in all of them.
Right. So let me ask it this way. I'm not asking you how much money you had. I'm asking you, how long could you have survived when you opened your business without making any money?
Right. Well, fortunately for me, I was making money prior to opening my own business or starting my own company, I should say. So I was already generating revenue within the industry, within the real estate industry.
Gotcha.
So it might have been a little bit easier for me in that regard that I was already working within the industry. But, you know, you try to have at least 3 to 6 months kind of saved up of all your expenses that you need to meet, because in my business, it ebbs and flows. And when the roller coaster's at the top, it's great. And when the roller coaster hits the bottom, it can be rough. You can go, you know, 3, 4, 6 months without making an actual paycheck.
Right.
And so you have to be prepared to weather those storms and have those resources set aside. And it also helps that my spouse works. So that helps.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of small business owners make when they get started, is they have enough money to start the business, but they don't have enough money to run the business.
Right.
You know, we've had, you know, you and I are in the chamber together. I've seen companies go out of business literally before they're ribbon cutting.
Yeah, I don't know what the statistics are for the number of businesses that fail in their first year, first 3 years, first 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, once you make it over that 3 to 5 year hump, you're usually pretty good to go. But it's those first couple few years. And I think having resources, meaning friends, family, but also mentors, folks within businesses can help you achieve your goals or help you navigate those pitfalls that not everyone thinks about. So I think it's important to have that support system around you. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're your confidants, but it means that you can bounce ideas off of other people.
Sure.
You and I are part of the Chamber of Commerce here in Brevard County, and you know, that helps being around other business owners. You can talk to them about some of your problems and some of the issues and how they've overcome those things. So, you know, definitely leaning on other people to gain wisdom and knowledge and experience could give you a shortcut to success.
That's awesome. All right. Matter of fact, speaking about the Chamber, we're going to take a break, but we're going to be right back here on 1560 The Fan and get right back to the Chamber and discuss what the resources are in the community that you can access if you're thinking about starting your own small business and how to go about it. You're on the air with Living the American Dream. We'll be right back.
This is Living the American Dream with Chris Robinson, right here on Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. Here's your host, Chris Robinson.
You're back on the air with Living the American Dream, Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. I'm here with Joe Kovac from Kovac Real Estate. Did I say it right again?
Of course.
Okay. Got to get the name of the company right. It's a little embarrassing when you're the host, you don't know the name of the company. But I do know the owner, Joe, who's... We've had a great discussion so far talking about how you get started. As Joe said, he was a realtor for quite a while. I learned something today, first of all. Okay, I got to remember this now. So it's what you learn after you know everything that counts.
Close enough.
All right. That's awesome. All right. So first of all, I didn't know there was a real estate school that you can actually get a degree from. So learn that today, and that you could go get your broker's license without having the pre-prep classes. Fast track to starting your own brokerage firm. But in addition to that, Joe and I have been talking a little bit about the resources that are in the community. Joe and I belong to the Cocoa Beach Chamber, and we actually are in a leads group together. Joe, talk to me about when you started your business, and even before you started your business, I knew you were part of the chamber. How did that help you access, whether it's leads, accounts, whatever it is? What did that do for you being part of the chamber?
Sure. Well, the Cocoa Beach Regional Chamber of Commerce is a absolutely great resource for any small business owner. Any business owner, small, medium, or large for that matter. There are, you know, major corporations, your Lockheed Martins, Harris, GEs, companies like that, that are part of the chamber, and there's small single proprietors like yourself and myself that are members of the chamber. Early on in my career, in San Diego, which is where I went to school, the Chamber of Commerce was a great resource for me there. So I knew it when I moved here to Florida. That was one of the resources that I wanted to tap into. Mm-hmm. They have a myriad of resources available, from other business owners like ourselves to interact with and network with, to functions, ribbon cuttings, various functions. For example, Wednesday Friends Day is happening, the thing where they have a monthly celebration of all of the business owners, and we get together and just network. And it's important to network within a, especially when you're a small business. It's a key fundamental thing that I think is a low cost and high return element, because people like to do business with people that they like, know, and trust.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, and speaking of that, if you're thinking about starting your own business, or you have your own small business, and I've seen this a few times now, you have to get over being shy.
Yes.
There are a lot of small business owners that don't want to go to a chamber event because they don't know anyone. You've got...
That's the exact reason to go.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, a lot of people join the chamber. They put the sticker for the chamber on their door, and they're expecting the business to come in. It doesn't work that way, does it, Jeff?
It doesn't work that way at all. No. As a matter of fact, Cheryl Clark is the regional director of membership, and she will tell you, she'll be the first one to tell you that... you get in, you get out of the chamber what you put into.
That's absolutely
right. So you have to put the effort out. It's not just going to come to you. Just like opening a retail store and hanging a shingle outside, people are not going to just come to you because you open the door and you have an open sign on. You have to go out there and generate business, and that's the key thing with the chamber, is just actually get involved and participate. There's training classes they do. They'll teach you how to put a website together. They'll teach you how to do some marketing. They'll teach you how to interact within the community, lots of different things, classes they provide, from marketing to management to even there's an organization within the chamber that helps mentor small businesses.
All right, SCORE.
Correct.
Yeah. And even something as simple as the leads group that we belong to, a lot of small business owners that I talk to, you know, I say, oh, I belong to a leads group. And they say, what's that?
Right.
And I'm absolutely amazed. So let's talk about that.
Sure.
Our leads group meets essentially every Thursday, 8 a.m.
Correct. Starts at 8, networking from 8 to 8:15, and then from 8:15 to about 9:15, we exchange leads or referrals, as I like to call them, and we try to help each other generate business, because when you're a single proprietor or a solo business owner, you're one person, and having the surrounding sales force of more than one, be it 2, 10, or 200, those folks can help you generate business, because we cross paths with lots of different people. And if I happen to be talking to a business owner about relocating their business and they're going to be looking for new space to lease, they may in the discussion talk about insurance and how their insurance costs have gone through the roof. And I can say to them, I've got a great guy for you, Chris Robinson, One Insurance. Yeah, he can help you with that property casualty insurance or whatever the case might be.
Right. Exactly. And a lot of people don't realize that all these different chambers in Brevard County have those opportunities, you know, and if you're not part of it, you're missing out. I'm not saying it's the end all, but it's another feather in your hat that you're doing for your marketing, you know?
Well, there's two things that I firmly believe in throughout life. Doesn't matter what we're talking about. Could be small business, could be the American dream, could be anything. And those two principles are, it's who you know, and timing is everything, right? If you know the right person, that can help get you past the gatekeeper at the front door.
Mm-hmm.
If your timing is right and you happen to be riding the elevator with the president of the company, and you start to talk to them about something, that might be the right person that you need to know. So part of that is getting involved, like we talked about networking, who you know. You have to know more people.
Got you. And also, I'm finding out also, it's who knows you. You know, because there are a lot of people out there who have great services, but nobody knows who they are.
Right.
You know, they're, you know, I've been in this community now for 12 years. And if somebody says to me, you know, Chris, do you know a good accountant? Do you know a good realtor? Do you know a good, you know, lawn guy? You know, there are a few people that stick out.
That's
that
right.
I say, you know what, this guy's got a good reputation. He does a great job for somebody else. You know, these are the people who are known, and these are the people who are out in the community. They belong to the different chambers of commerce. They're getting involved in the community and giving back. And, you know, there are only a few players that are really rise to the top that everybody knows. And those are the players that are getting the business.
Sure. You've got to be able to help each other, too.
You know,
being a small proprietor or a single proprietor, helping one another will greatly advance your business, because you get what you give.
Couldn't have said it better. I could try, but I won't. All right, so Joe, let's switch gears a little bit. Sure. Talk to me about the real estate market. And I'm going to preface it this way. I've got a young son, 25, just got married. Congratulations to him and his wife. They're looking for a home. They're purchasing a home. And I am shocked at what you have to pay for a starter home these days.
Yeah, the market, depending on who you talk to, a lot of folks say the market's hot, the market's hot. Well, it has been doing well lately. I wouldn't classify it as hot, but I would classify it as doing well. Average prices are up. Median prices are up. So the thing about real estate that I love, that I always have believed in and will continue to believe in for the rest of my life, is that no matter what, over time, real estate has always increased in value. If you go back to the beginning of time to now, the values of real estate have always increased, and they're not making more of it. So in general, it's a great investment, and I would encourage your son and anyone else who's young to purchase a home when they can and they have the resources and can afford to. Certainly, if you can't afford to and you can't make those payments, it's not something for you to jump into. You have to be prepared. But it is a great investment, and you should always try to build equity when you can versus paying someone else's mortgage to help them build equity.
Right. Now, how would you help a young couple, or not just a young couple, any couple that's out there looking for a home to purchase, whether they've been living in the area for a while, they don't know what to look for?
Sure.
How do you, as their agent or their broker?
Well, it's interesting. So, I get a lot of phone calls from folks that are referred to me, and they say, hey, you know, my son, my daughter, whoever's looking for a house. So I'll call them up, and the first question I always ask is, are you buying with cash, or are you going to finance the property? And depending on the answer, it's quite clear that financing a property, you're using other people's money, the bank's money, right, to purchase. So what you
I'm sorry to cut you. I have to ask this. What percentage of people say cash?
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. There are a number of cash buyers out there. There's definitely more people that are buying financing. Right. And it just depends on what your belief system is. Right. Some people don't like to carry debt. Other people love to use other people's money and carry debt. So it's a matter of preference.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. So financing is the key component, right? I will always ask that question first, and then if they say we're going to finance a property, my next question is, have you talked to a lender, either a mortgage broker or your bank, your lending institution, wherever you bank is the first place to start. It's not always the best place, but it's the first place to start because you have a relationship with a bank. Mm-hmm. I would always encourage folks to talk to a mortgage broker because they have avenues to money that some banks do not. For example, one of the big banks, initials or whatever you want to call them, they will loan their money on their programs, but they won't necessarily go to other sources, other banks to loan you money. So it's good to pursue those avenues and to make sure you're qualified to buy a house first and foremost. If you can't qualify to buy a house, it doesn't matter what you want.
Right.
Got to be qualified.
Right.
You know, if you're buying cash, it's a different story. But first and foremost, financing is the key thing.
Okay. And then what? So you start looking for a home. What are you looking for?
Well, once they're qualified, once they have actually been pre-approved, not pre-qualified, there's a difference between pushing a couple of keys on the computer and hitting submit and getting a letter back that says, great, you're approved for $250,000 house. Well, if they haven't collected tax returns, if they haven't collected bank statements, pay stubs, and asked you some very key questions about your income and your debt-to-income ratio, then you're not truly pre-approved. You might be pre-qualified. So it's important to get past the initial pushing the buttons on the computer. I always recommend talking to someone first and foremost.
Okay.
So after you've been pre-approved, then it's time to start looking for a house. So I start asking more questions, right, which is, what geographic location, what area do you want to live in? Right. What are your other criteria? Do you want a single-family house? Do you want a condo, a townhouse, a mobile home? I mean, do you care? Do you just want land to buy and you want to build a house? There's lots of questions that need to be asked to qualify somebody. What you're trying to do, obviously, is serve the customer and find out what their needs are first. As any good salesperson will tell you, you need to first find out what the needs are so you can meet those needs.
Right.
So location, size of house or property that you're looking for, it has to fit within their budget always. And so that's critical. Whether or not they have kids, lots of questions like that. Do you want a pool? You know, various things.
Right.
So lots of criteria. Once I get all those answers, I will start searching for a home for them. I will go on to the local MLS. use various methods of finding that property for those folks. But a lot of times, the buyers themselves will see properties. And they'll say, hey, what about this house or what about that house? Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes properties that have a sign on them are already under contract, or they're already in the escrow process of being sold. So it's just because there's a sign in the yard doesn't mean that house is available.
Right. Gotcha. All right. Good stuff, Joe. All right. We'll be right back on 1560 The Fan Sports Radio. Wrap up here with Joe. We got to get some contact information. Matter of fact, let's give some contact information for you right now, Joe.
Sure.
How can people reach you?
Well, the easiest way is just to call me. My cell phone number is 321-544-2511. Of course, that Brevard area code of 321-544-2511.
Okay. Email address?
My email address is my name, joekovac1, the number one, at gmail.com. So it's joekov, like Victor, ac1, at gmail.com.
Excellent. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. You're listening to Living the American Dream with Chris Robinson.
This is Living the American Dream with Chris Robinson, right here on Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. Here's your host, Chris Robinson.
All right, you're back on the air with Living the American Dream, Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. I'm your host, Chris Robinson, here with Joe Kovac. Joe,
yes.
So we've been talking a lot. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, cool.
Good stuff. Is that California coming on you? Yeah, cool.
Sure. That's right.
So, all right, let's finish up on, first of all, the real estate market in terms of where it is right now, the trends that you see happening, people who are interested in possibly selling their house. Do you
Sure.
handle that end also?
Sure. So I handle all aspects of real estate. I sell both residential and commercial properties. Mm-hmm. I lease commercial properties. I represent tenants. I represent landlords. I represent buyers. I represent sellers of residential real estate, vacant land. For example, I cross all the gamuts. Again, my first step in the real estate world was commercial real estate in San Diego, so I know that that market as well. Excuse me, not that market, but that element of the market here locally. So, yeah, I can help all of those folks. Just depends on what their needs are. In terms of the market right now, the market has been doing quite well recently. Lots of properties, especially if they're good properties, good quality properties, priced right, they will sell quickly. If they're overpriced, they'll sit for a while, and if they are priced right, they will sell quickly. Recently, we've seen a lot of properties that used to be on the market called REOs, real estate owned by banks. Also, most folks refer to them as foreclosures. Those properties have dropped considerably in the inventory. So a lot of investors that have bought up foreclosure properties, that has become more thin and less available out there on the market.
How does that impact the market itself if there's less foreclosures and less?
Well, it's a good thing in general, right? Yeah. So foreclosure properties, bank-owned properties that sit vacant for months or years can impact a neighborhood or a community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing that these properties have been sold to investors or to homeowners for that matter, who get in, fix them up, take care of the yards, help the neighborhoods come back to life and increase in value overall, from an overall standpoint. So less foreclosures, less REO sales, much less short sales. That's a term that people have heard recently in the last few years, short sales, where there's a deficiency judgment and the basically the bank, the seller, and the buyer, all three parties have to agree on what the prices are. Those short sales have gone almost away entirely. There's very, very few happening these days. The banks are simply just taking the properties back and remarketing them and getting them sold. But it has been a good market for the last, I would say, first quarter of this year is up over last year. Every quarter for the past few years have been increasing in terms of average sale price. So the prices are up. Good market for sellers. The inventory is down, meaning there are not a ton of folks putting their houses on the market. So it's a bit difficult for buyers these days to find the right thing,
right.
But you just have to stick with it.
Right. I know that's what my son went through. And from what we purchased our home a year ago. And actually, I've got a question for you on that. How accurate is Zillow in their estimates?
Interesting you bring that up. So, the websites that are out there that exist for helping folks sell homes like Zillow, like Trulia, which are actually owned by the same parent company, Those estimates that you get and those numbers that you see are accurate only to a certain degree. There are algorithms that run and produce a value. Doesn't mean that they're 100% right. And the biggest thing with most folks would say to me, hey, Zillow says my house is worth X.
Right.
Well, that's great. It makes you feel good. But it doesn't mean that property is going to sell for that amount. It certainly doesn't mean that Zillow is going to buy it from you for that amount. So they try to do a good job. It is what it is. It's really just an algorithm pulling data from various sources, county records, and providing numbers based on that. They can't tell you that the house across the street is on the water and that your house is not on the water, and that house across the street that's sold, that's waterfront property, is certainly has a higher value than your house that's not on the water. So to compare your house across the street from a water property doesn't equate always, and that's where the Zillow and Trulia and some of these other websites aren't 100% accurate.
Right. So are they just basing it really on the square footage and at an amount per square foot based on what other homes are selling in the area? So that's all it's capturing pretty much?
Well,
that's my very naive interpretation.
Well, it's a general statement, right? Yeah. So, per square foot is a way to come to a value of a house compared to other comparable sales. However, it's not just square footage. Sometimes it's amenities, pool, no pool, two-story versus single-story, right? Square footage is one thing, but if you have a 2,000-square-foot house with three bedrooms or a 2,000-square-foot house with five bedrooms, they are not equal. Mm. There are more bedrooms in this other house, and their bedrooms have a value. It's not just per square foot, but fundamentally they have an algorithm that takes all of the different data, crunches it, and spits out a number. And sometimes algorithms, they don't have the human element to go there and look at the house and say, this house has been remodeled and has beautiful floors and kitchens and bathrooms. This other house has not been remodeled. They're next door to one another, but they don't have the same amenities. They don't have the same value.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, to be honest, I looked at Zillow. Saw that our house went up by so much. I told my wife when she got home, we're selling our house.
Right.
She said, "Where do we go?" Well, I guess that's the point. So thank you for that, because that kind of helps me kind of figure out what's going on. Because as the naive homeowner, you're sitting looking at these values, and with what we went through in the market 10 years ago, our house dropped drastically. We lost a ton of money. So now it's like
you didn't lose money if you didn't sell it.
Well, there you go.
Right. So you only lose or make money when you buy or sell.
Fine, Joe. Right? I sold. All right. So I lost the money.
Sorry to hear
Thanks
that.
Thanks for sticking the knife in.
I can find you the next house.
That's all right. All right. So again, I'm on with Joe Kovac. Joe, again, give the listeners your phone number, how they can reach you, what you're looking for.
Sure. My phone number is area code 321-544-2511. And that's the easiest way to get in touch with me. You can also send me an email at joekovac1@gmail.com. My last name is spelled K-O-V-A-C. So joekovac1@gmail.com. Love to hear from you.
All right, great. And Joe, I skipped a question for you that I ask all my viewers.
Yes.
Are you living the American dream? And if so, how and why?
Absolutely. I am a homeowner, which is part of the American dream. And I also own my own small business, which is definitely an American dream for me.
Excellent. Excellent. How are the kids doing?
Kids are excellent. Thanks for asking.
How old are they?
7, soon to be 9, and 11.
We live in a great community, don't we, Joe?
It's great. The area that we live in here in Brevard County is a little gem. It's a hidden secret. Values of properties and the ability to be a homeowner here in the United States in this area is one of the cheapest places to live, especially with water surrounding us. So it's just great.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I have so much family that now love me because I live close to the beach.
Sure.
So they're all visiting. But we have to, sometimes we forget, we live where people vacation.
That's right.
This past weekend, I went over to Orlando City game. I went to the Improv in Orlando. Last week we took the kids to the beach.
Yep.
We've got a great school system here in Brevard. We've got, a safe community.
Absolutely.
And as you said, the property values are reasonable and you can make a decent living, especially as a small business owner. And that's why I stress with this show, Living the American Dream. You hear a lot on the national stage that the economy's down and it's the slowest recovery. It's this, it's that. However, we're a large enough community that you can make a difference and you can have an impact. You can make a good living, but it's a small enough community that you can actually matter.
That's right. And you know, the American dream also is quality of life, right?
I mean,
having a quality of life where your kids can ride a bike to school or walk to school safely on their own is something that's unbelievably just enriching for me. And my kids have the ability to ride a bike to school, which is great. Right. You know, someplace you can leave your garage door open overnight and things stay in the garage.
Right.
Nothing goes missing. It's a great place here in Brevard County.
Well, actually, I have the opposite of that story. But anyway, again, enough about me. Actually, left the garage open for one night, missed the bike. But that's all right. It was just a bike. I think somebody just needed a ride home. We lived beachside at the time, so, you know.
Sure, you never know.
You never know. But you're absolutely right. We live in such a great community, great, you know, great cities. And again, I know you are out of Merritt Island.
Correct. My office is in Merritt Island. I live on Merritt Island. And if anyone's looking to acquire real estate or to sell a piece of real estate, I'd be happy to help.
Well, great. Joe, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Great guy. If you're looking for real estate, if you just have questions, give Joe a call. If you're looking to sell, if you're looking to buy, lease also for commercial, give Joe a call. Again, get involved with your chamber. Get out there. If you're looking to start a small business, become known in the community. You don't have to own a business to be part of the chamber. Join. See what it's about. Get some tips. Joe mentioned SCORE is also an organization through the Chamber of Commerce where you can have older mentors
right.
who have already had the experience of owning and operating a business. They can give you some great advice. And all those services are free through the chamber with SCORE. So get out there, get involved. If you have questions, hit me up at chrisrobinson169@gmail.com or give me a call at 321-890-2094. Again, that's chrisrobinson169@gmail.com. And the phone is 321-890-2094. This is Chris Robinson. You've been listening to Living the American Dream on Sports Radio 1560 The Fan. Joe, thank you so much for coming in. Looking forward to the Leeds Group, getting out to Wednesday Friends Day, and enjoying the great Brevard County that we live in. Thanks, folks.
My
Have a great day.
Sure.